You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy.
Morning, everyone. How you doing? We continue on in our series of Psalms this week, and man, so excited about this one. We're going to be in Psalm 23 today, so excited about it. Love this psalm. Deeply has meant so much to me through the years, so excited to share that with you here this morning. A couple weeks ago, I was with my family at Brookfield Zoo, and it was a weekday, and it was one of the nice days that we've had the last couple weeks, you know, when you just need to get outside because it's so nice out, and we're outside. In the zoo, it wasn't that crowded this day. There was pockets and areas of Brookfield Zoo where you could just sort of be, and there was no one around. It was a fun time, and so we come out of the swamp building, James' personal favorite. We come out of the swamp building, and we round the corner, and I see this young child, maybe three-ish years old, playing on the bronze alligator statue that's right there. It's not uncommon to see a kid playing on the bronze statue. I've seen it a lot. My kids have been on it a lot. But what was uncommon about this moment was the fact that there was no parents around. You've been in that moment before where you're like, dude, where is this kid's parents? I start looking around, and I don't see a parent anywhere. So I, like, feel responsible in this moment, and I stand there, and I'm looking around. Who can I ask? Oh, it's got to be, nope, not them. They're just walking. They're just gone. And so many thoughts are going through my head so quickly in this moment, right? Where are your parents? Did something happen to them? Did this kid just run away? I can't leave this, like, vulnerable three-year-old kid by himself. What if he wanders off? What if he, like, honestly, in my head, what if he gets in one of the exhibits that's, like, in my head? See on the news that night, kid playing with gorilla, you know, I was like, oh, that was my fault. So many thoughts going through my head. But the biggest one was this. This kid needs supervision. This kid cannot be here alone. This kid could wander off and get hurt. Now, someone eventually did come and get them, which was good, because he needed direction. If you can picture him just fully enamored with this bronze statue, no mindfulness of the threats and the danger around him and how clueless he was of what he needed to do in that moment. He needed someone over him to protect him. And it stuck out to me as so obvious in that moment, and really to any adult in that situation when you see a kid by themselves with no parent around. And I'm thinking about that as we jump into the psalm today, because the psalm today describes the goodness of following our God. And when we don't follow him, the description and the picture that's laid out for us is that we're like that kid, alone and needy, in need of supervision and help. We are vulnerable and unprepared to face life ahead. We are described in this psalm as sheep. And sheep are vulnerable. Sheep, if you look into it, they're not that smart. There's this video that was going around on Instagram where this sheep is literally stuck in a hole, and these guys are working to get him out. They get the sheep out. It jumps once, jumps twice, and falls in another hole. The psalm today describes us. We are pictured as the sheep, needy, vulnerable. And God as our shepherd, he's our protection. He's the one over us, the one that we need and that we need to follow. This morning, we're looking at such a familiar psalm, one that we usually read at funerals or used in super cliche ways in movies. But today we're going to see the goodness of this psalm for our life, for me today, someone who is needy and dependent on God to be my shelter, shepherd. We're going to be seeing that when we follow our good shepherd, when we follow our God and him as our shepherd, we can rest, truly rest, as we trust him to be our provision, to be our protection, to be our comfort. Now in this moment and forever as we walk through our life. And that to me seems like good news. Anyone else? Because I think about myself and it's really hard to navigate my life. Regularly, I feel confused. Regularly, I'm not sure what to do. Regularly, I feel like that kid on the alligator, just needy and vulnerable. In need of someone to lead me through what is so confusing, what is so painful. What hurts so much, whatever is in front of me right now, for my shepherd to lead me through that. So, wherever you're at, let's turn together. Psalm 23, if you're not there, let's look at it together. We're going to read it once through, and then pick it apart, verse by verse, clause by clause, and see what God would have for us in the midst of it. Psalm 23. If right now you're like, yeah, I know it. Just turn there anyways. Let's look at the words together. It's so good for us to dig into it together, okay? Here we go. Psalm 23, starting in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beautiful psalm, so much richness in that. Let's start to work through it. The first line there, the Lord is my shepherd. Just want to take those first two words just to start here. The Lord. The actual Hebrew word here is Yahweh, which is God's official name. And it's significant because it's used all throughout the Old Testament as referencing the one true living God of Israel. Orthodox Jews still now have so much respect and awe for this name of Yahweh that they will not even speak it, not even in prayer. Before glossing over too quickly, this name Yahweh that is used here as our shepherd, let's think about it. Because names matter, and as we see God's name here, what we attribute to that name tells us everything about what kind of shepherd he is. Names matter to us. We see a name, we see a logo, and we start to attribute, right? Driving down Lawrence, and I see Cane's Chicken. I attribute that as Superior Chicken. I see Cane's Chicken. I know what I'm going to get when I go inside of Cane's Chicken. Really good chicken. I see Portillo's, man, I start to get hungry. I know what's there. You see ESPN, sports, right? It doesn't matter what the name is, a name you attribute and you associate to that name, what it means. And right here at the start of Psalm 23, we get Yahweh, his name. So what we attribute to that is everything, and everything that we know about who our God is and his character is attributed to who he is as our shepherd. Think with me, a covenant-keeping, faithful God, the one who brought Israel out of Egypt, powerful enough to do that. What we know today in 2022 of God's plan of redemption and him sending his son Jesus, right? This is written before Jesus walks the earth and dies for our sin, but we know that to be true today of that, of our God. What we attribute to his name matters. All-powerful. Every breath that we breathe today is sustained by Yahweh, by God. Our God is a God of love. He is love. Love motivated him to bring about redemption for us. He's just and fair. He forgives. He's all-knowing. Everything about you and about the world and what is to come, he knows all of it in his sovereignty. He's full of grace and giving gifts that we don't deserve. All of this is what we get when we see his name and more. So you see Yahweh here to start the psalm. We see that name and we know what that represents about his character and his person and all of who he is. Maybe you can think back to a time in your life where you saw God work powerfully in your life or a friend's life or brought healing to someone who was sick. Maybe you can think about ways that he drew you to himself or showed himself as faithful. I want you to attribute all of that to that first word here of Psalm 23, Yahweh. This God has stood the test of time. He has seen his people through pretty hard things. His name is sure. There is certainty in what you receive. He won't change, and neither should your confidence. Yahweh is my shepherd. That's significant. I want to make another stop here as at is my. Don't worry, the whole sermon doesn't go this slowly through the words, if you're getting concerned about that right now. I'd be worried too. Don't worry. We got it. I got the time right there. We're good. Yahweh is my. This is significant. For Israelites, their thought about their relationship with God was so often communal in the context of their nation. He was their God. They were his people. It's plural often. This is really interesting and unique that David makes it so personal in this. He's my shepherd. It's so personal. You have God's attention. You're his. He's yours. Think about all of who God is and everything that his name represents, Yahweh. And now think about that applied so specifically to you in the context of your relationship with him. His strength, his faithfulness, his love is for you in the context of that relationship, which is awesome because it's so opposite of what we deserve. If there's something that I should say is my in context of relationship with God, it should be wrath. It should be punishment. It should be separation, but through his love and the gift of Jesus, he's reconciled us to himself. But the Lord is my. There's a personal element there. But in what ways is he personal? Yahweh is my what? It says that he is my shepherd. And shepherd is this amazing picture that David is connecting through the rest of the psalm here. And when he says shepherd, that would have meant so much to the Israelites, anyone reading it in that day, because of how common that job was in that day. Shepherding was a common job in that day. They would have been well accustomed to the ins and the outs of what shepherding meant. David himself, a shepherd. The hills around Bethlehem are very fertile in an area where you would see regularly shepherds and their sheep grazing along these hills. So why does he bring up shepherd? Why are we sheep? Well, a shepherd would have a number of responsibilities for their sheep. They would provide food. They would lead them to their food. They would find the food for the sheep. Like I said, sheep are not that smart. Left to themselves, they could wander and wander and wander and wander. No matter how many days they had been in this area, in this environment, in this landscape, they could still not find it for themselves. A shepherd would provide food for them. A shepherd would guide them. They knew the path to take. They knew the route to take. They knew what their sheep could handle and not handle. They knew how to get from point A to point B. And shepherd, you know what else they would do is they would protect. As other animals came to try to eat off one of the sheep, They would protect with their rod or staff. They also would protect them in the route that they took. I've read stuff about sheep just walking off cliffs. They need a helper. They are the vulnerable kid left by themselves in a zoo. Where is the parent? We are vulnerable in need of a shepherd. And so he says, you know what we're like? We're like sheep that need a shepherd, and he is a good shepherd. So when he says, the Lord God is my shepherd, he's saying God is going to provide for you and lead you and protect you as you walk this life. There is such a neediness, and I say we just lean into it and embrace it every day of our life, that there is such a neediness that we have as sheep to be led by a shepherd. My second summer missions trip that I ever took with our high school students was down to Mexico. And, I don't know how old I was at that point, 23, 24, something like that. And I'm taking like 25-ish students and leaders down to Mexico. And we had a layover in Mexico City, okay? So Mexico City is one of the world's largest cities. It's huge. And the airport is massive as well. And so I look at our itinerary, and I'm supposed to lead my team of 25 to get off the plane, through customs, find our bags, check in our bags, go through security again, find our gate in all less than 2 hours. And I'm starting to think, man, I don't know if I can do this. And add on top of that, there's a language barrier. I mean, I paid attention in my Spanish class, but I don't know how well I paid attention to navigate through an airport while I have 25 people who are looking to me to lead them through it. So I called the airline. I'm like, hey, I'm a little nervous about this. Can you send me a map? Can you, like, I just want to be prepared when I land that I know what I'm doing. And they said, I'll do one better thing for you. I'll have someone meet you at the gate, and they will take you through the entire airport. They'll take you through customs. They'll take you through security, check your bag. They'll do everything, and they will make sure that you get on your connecting flight. Man, I'm not even stressed about it now. I slept on that flight from Chicago to Mexico City. I feel good. I'm even communicating. Hey, we got a guy. He's going to meet us at the end of the, you know, we're going to get off. Everyone just wait. There's someone who's going to be there that's going to meet us. We get off the plane. We're all waiting. I'm like, he's going to be here. She's going to be here. Someone's going to be here. No one shows up. Every fear that I had before is stirred back up. I'm like, man, who am I? I don't know what I'm doing. I can't read these signs. It's worse than I thought it was. And I'm pretty sure we had a lesson on just travel in airports too. Man, I didn't know. You can imagine my horror as I'm standing there. I'm like, man, I don't think I can lead us through this. I don't know what I'm doing. Before I could rest, that I knew that there was going to be an expert leading me through the airport that knew what to do. And that's what David is talking about here. He's your shepherd. You don't know? That's okay. He does. You're not sure what this looks like? That's okay. He does. We are sheep, and we need a shepherd like a toddler needs an adult at the zoo. We need a shepherd, and he offers to be your shepherd to lead you through all the things that you don't know how to do. I want to make one connection about shepherd before we jump into more of the psalm here. Because Jesus picked up on this idea of shepherd, didn't he? Maybe you've already thought about that and made that connection. In John 10, verses 11 through 16, just write that down. Check it out this week as further study for this. But Jesus connects this idea of shepherd and sheep, and he calls himself the good shepherd, right? He says this, I know my own and my own know me. He makes it so personal. Think about how personal that is as my shepherd, as Jesus says that. Says that he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Talks about bringing more sheep into his fold as the shepherd. We see his heart to reconcile sinners into the fold of God. It's beautiful. So I want to make that connection here now as we talk about this psalm, as we talk about Yahweh, our God, as our shepherd. Keep in mind, too, Jesus also talked about himself as shepherd. He, too, talked about us as sheep. He, too, made these connections of our need for him. So as we read through this, as followers of Jesus who know the truth of Jesus and have received that into our life, we can attribute what we see here about Jesus being our good shepherd, too, and there's connections with this as this being offered to us and ours. So the rest of the psalm shows what happens when we allow God to be our shepherd, when we allow ourselves to be led and we embrace that we're a sheep. It paints a picture here with clear descriptions of what our life looks like for us as sheep. Look at the rest of verse 1 here. It says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And actually, I should have said here, the Lord is my shepherd. I missed this part. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. I shall not want. I shall not lack. When God is your shepherd, you shall not want. What does that mean? Literal translation here for this would be, you lack nothing. God is concerned with the welfare of his sheep. You're valuable to him. He cares for you. Now, want here is not a wish list. Because that might be a disconnect for you right here if you're like, no, let me tell you, I want some things. Now, he's saying you're going to lack nothing. What he's talking about is something deeper from the start of the psalm here. He's talking about provision. He's talking about being satisfied in God. In every description that he gives, the next verse or so, the description he gives points back to that idea of not wanting, lacking nothing, being truly satisfied in him. Look at the imagery that David creates to show that satisfaction. He talks about green pastures. He talks about still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. What does that mean? This is the first of a number of settings that the psalmist is going to use to describe of us being led as sheep. And he says, when you're led by the shepherd as his sheep, you're going to lay down in these places where you're fed till you're full. Shepherding 101, back to this a little bit. Shepherds were in charge, like I said before, of bringing their sheep to places that they could feed, where they would care for and provide them. So part of their job is bringing them to a place where they could eat and be full. I mean, two very important places that a shepherd would need to know how to bring his sheep to would be water and food, the necessities for survival. And on your own, a sheep could search for this forever in Israel. Israel is a really interesting place with pockets of green and then pockets of just barren, rocky desert. One moment you could be in a field, the next it's like a cliff. A shepherd needs to know where to go to find food. And your shepherd, Yahweh, knows where the green pastures are and says he's going to lead you there where you can lay down and be fed full. You can rest today in the certainty that God knows what you need as your shepherd and will lead you to a place of being satisfied in him. You can rest in that. I mean, they're so satisfied. These sheep are so satisfied that they're laying down. They're reclining. They're stretched out. They've had their full. That's full provision. We're going to get a little bit more specific about what this provision and satisfaction means for us. But look at the second place that we're led to. It's besides still waters. Still waters can be translated into like waters of rest, a place at the stream that you could come and you could drink, and it's not rough water. It's safe for you to drink and be satisfied even there. It connects to what he's just said about green pastures and bringing you to a place of provision and satisfaction. What he's saying is, your shepherd, he knows how to bring you to the place of feeding and of water. He knows where that is. He knows what you need to be provided for. Connects perfectly with verse 1 of, I shall not want, I shall lack nothing, as the shepherd is bringing you there. But what does that mean practically for us here today? What does it mean practically for our shepherd to be bringing us to a place of satisfaction and provision? I don't think David is saying that God is leading us to actual food and water for survival. This psalm is speaking of a lifetime of following God. When you look at the whole psalm, it's all about who our God is and what he brings to us as our shepherd. He will lead us to a place of being provided and satisfied. So there's a lot of things that try to promise this satisfaction in our world and this provision in this world. There's all sorts of ways that I could try to lead myself to be satisfied and provided for. There's all sorts of endeavors that we've tried over the course of our life that we think will be that green pasture for us. But I think the key to understanding of what it means not to lack and what it means to be provided for and satisfied in really comes in the next part of the psalm. As we think about this whole idea of what it means to follow God and what that means for the sheep, he leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. It's more than just a physical strength and provision and satisfaction that's happening here at the stream or in the green pastures. To restore soul would be to mend or fix or heal. Fishermen would go out and they'd break their nets and they'd have to come back and they'd have to restore their nets because there'd be holes in them. They'd be tattered and broken. And so they would restore and they would fix. Your shepherd brings you to places to restore, to satisfy and provide for you. So specifically in those ways, God is restoring our soul, our walk with God, providing satisfaction and provision within that relationship with God. It makes me think of Jesus in John 6. Jesus in John 6:35, he says, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. He makes that connection, Jesus does in John. He picks up on this idea of hunger and thirst being met in him. All of our need and desires to be satisfied are found in him alone. And that's the message in Psalm 23, is your good shepherd leads you to a place of that satisfaction and that provision, which can only be found in him. It's not anything worldly that we could believe that it could be. It's the message of our world to find satisfaction in all sorts of things, but the shepherd leads you to a place of provision and satisfaction, and that's within himself. You know, sometimes you'll hear people say, man, I just wish God would give me a season of green pastures. I just wish I could have a season of calm waters. Here's the thing. Green pastures and still waters have to be every day. They're regular feeding and drinking of the sheep. They have to be every day. And so as God is leading us in this regular daily thing, he's giving us opportunities to feed on him and who he is in that relationship for us. We feel so busy and overwhelmed and overworked and overstressed and distracted. And none of that feels satisfying at all. But God wants to lead you and me and his sheep in the regular moments of life to lay down and be satisfied in him. One way that I think personally of green pastures in my life is the time I'm spending daily with God, in his word and feeding on his word. And in his presence and in prayer as he's ministering to me and bringing satisfaction to me through that. That's one way he leads me into that time so then I can have what I need to be provided for. How often are we that kid just trying to provide for ourselves when God is offering to be our shepherd and provide it for us? Saying, would you just let me lead you there? Life is busy and so broken and we feel stretched. But these are words you can rest and trust in. So often my life doesn't feel like that word picture of green pastures and still waters. And yet, the sheep following the shepherd are regularly led there. It doesn't change that there's dangers around. It doesn't change the scenario that, you know, it's just he regularly leads us there. All right, check out verse 3. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is all about protection. The shepherd offering protection for us. The shepherd leads us in ways that are protecting us. This is another job, like we've said, of the shepherd. Whether it's finding a safe route from point A to point B or knowing the places that an animal could attack one of his sheep. The shepherd has to be on guard for this. And David is picking up on this in Psalm 23 to say he leads me on paths of righteousness. Paths of righteousness are safe paths. Let me explain. When we follow the good shepherd, we are protected from the pain and the destruction and the heartache of sin. Right? If you were to compare a life of sin and life of righteousness, we know that there's destruction. The Bible documents it well. The story and the narrative of Scripture documents well the life of sin and the certain destruction that that leads to. What it also documents well is our desire to still be entangled in that sin so easily. It documents well our desire to live out and gratify the flesh instead of walking by the Spirit. And what David's talking about here is, hey, that's not a safe path. The shepherd, he can lead you in paths of righteousness. He can show you the way that is righteous. Think about our relationship with God now. And that he's declared us righteous in that. Think about the Spirit that he's put inside of you to bring conviction. Think about his word that he's given us that is alive and active to teach us these things of this path of righteousness. That's the safe path. And any minute that we want to get off of that and say, you know what? Maybe I'll be like the judges. I'm going to do what's right in my own eyes. Maybe I know what's better. Maybe I know the way. Maybe I could step off and do this a little bit off here and I'll be fine. There won't be consequences. We are as sheep moving away from the path that the shepherd is providing that is safe paths of righteousness. And we're deciding, you know what? No, I think I'm okay over here on this rocky cliff. Keep in mind what we've said about sheep is they're not smart. We think we know what we're doing. We can do it just this once. We're in control. You're not. You're a sheep. You think you're smart. And that, well, we're not. I'm not. I need a shepherd to show me a path of righteousness that is protected and safe. And that's what he's offering us. Okay, that's really good news. Because if you really believe that you're a sheep and you really believe that he's the shepherd, you really actually think you cannot get to point A to point B without his help and him leading you. You actually think that you need to walk on the path that he's showing you. Paths of righteousness. It's not always the most fun. It's definitely not the most popular. It's difficult. It's safe. So the shepherd satisfies, the shepherd protects, and now we see the shepherd comforts. Look at verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Man, green pastures, still waters feels like a long way off, doesn't it, right now? It does, and that's on purpose. Like I said, this psalm is describing a life of following God as our shepherd, a lifetime of it. And we know that within life, it's not all green pastures. It's not all still waters. There's some deep and dark times. Valley of shadow of death means deep darkness or very deep shadow. shepherd, they would lead through these valleys at points. They would lead through these ravines, all sorts of places, day or night. And it'd be dark. You think about vulnerable sheep walking through a valley, uncertain terrain at night. How easily it'd be for one of them to be lost. How easy it'd be for one of them to start walking one way and just go and go and go and go. It's vulnerable for sheep to walk through the valley. God as our shepherd leads us to satisfaction and unsafe paths. And now here there's darkness. There will be hard and painful and difficult days. There will be deep valley days. There will be days where it's not, you know, whatever phrase you want to use, it's not a walk in the park. It's not easy. Everything is difficult. It feels like darkness surrounding you. And in those moments, praise God, you don't need to lead yourself. When tragedy hits, when depression is deep, when you feel the presence of evil around you, God, our shepherd, it says, comforts us. Which is so interesting because I think in the valley moments, those are the moments when we tend to blame God. Why did you lead me here? Why did you allow this? Why are you doing this? You could stop this at any moment. Why would you let this happen? Why won't you bless me in this? It's in the valley that so often we as the sheep want to question the shepherd. When we tend to doubt, God, are you really here? Do you really care? Are you actually capable of changing this? That's when we sometimes want to try to find our own way out. We want to try to navigate as the sheep. Okay, you led me here. Watch me get myself out of here. I think I know best. Keep in mind, we are sheep. We need a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, even now, even in the midst of this darkness that is surrounding us. And David says, in that moment, I will fear no evil. How is that possible? Because the times of shadow or deep darkness, they play on every single fear you have. What is in this darkness? How bad will this get? What if I don't ever get out of this darkness, this depression, this anxiety, the heartache? You can't see how far the darkness goes. That's the thing that I think is scariest about the valley. You have no idea how long you're going to have to walk in it. And for in that moment, while it's dark, to say, I know I have a shepherd, I don't need to even fear. I still get afraid of the dark, truth be told. I like for people to be with me. Even when I'm turning off the lights in this building. Anyone relate to that? Like, seriously. It's late. Sometimes I'm like, man. It's nice to have someone with you. We don't need to fear because we have first one, word one. Who? Yahweh. Is because you're with me. That's why he doesn't fear. That's why he doesn't fear. That's why we don't fear. Look around, it's a mess. You feel that deep darkness. But this is the thing about the shepherd, is he's going to guide you through that. He provides in the good times and the bad. He restores when we cannot mend ourselves. He sticks with us in the darkest of days, and he's going to actually walk with us through those hard days. It says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. A shepherd would carry around the staff, and it was multi-purpose, really. Some of it was protection to fight off other animals. Some of it was guiding and directing and steering this way or that. And what is said here is your rod and your staff, that's a comfort to me. I know you're protecting me. I know you're leading me. I know you're guiding me. And I put myself in the position of the sheep in the psalm here, in the picture here. The sheep can see the staff even though they're in the valley. And as long as they see the staff, they know, hey, he's here. We're okay. I know what that rod means. I know what that staff means. It means leading me, guiding me, protecting me. I know that that's taken me to the green pastures. I know that that's protected me and brought me through everything. And not just me, the history of the church. In all time, God has been good, faithful shepherd. I know he's still here. I'm nothing to fear. For he's with me. That's a comfort to me to know that he's here. I hope it's a comfort to you, and I hope you can rest in that. Our situations are overwhelming and difficult and blinding, but he takes all of that and he comforts all of us with where we are at because he is my shepherd. He is your shepherd. He is good. The reality of his presence is comfort. Because you know who's walking with you. And that's really good news for you. Even here in the valley, if that's you today, you can rest in the certainty of who's with you. It doesn't end in the valley. Let's wrap up verse 5 and 6. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, it doesn't end in the valley. The future is bright. It's us sitting at a table prepared by God, anointed by God, our cup overflowing in this moment. The description, surely, certainly, positive, bank on it, bet on it, depend on it. Surely, this is true. Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life as you follow that shepherd who's leading you. That's an amazing thing that we can rest in. He is a shepherd. Do you see it? Can you embrace yourself as sheep and vulnerable and needing to be led to provision and satisfaction, needing to be led on straight, protected paths of righteousness, needing someone to comfort you and guide you through the heartaches and difficulties of this world? And all of it is with the certainty of knowing his goodness and mercy is with you no matter what you face in this world. He's good. Yahweh Shepherd is good and ready, able, longing to lead you through it all. We can trust that. There's confidence in that. Why would we want to lead ourselves? Look at the ending of it. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Good things. I'll follow to that, right? I mean, that sounds pretty good. Why would we want to be led by anyone else, by anything else? I try to provide for myself regularly. And I'm learning the joy and the goodness and just resting in the reality of my shepherd loving me and leading me through it all and resting in that and his ability to do it way better than I ever could. I'll embrace that posture of the needy kid on the alligator, the sheep that needs protection. Because I'm also embracing who he is as my shepherd, and that's a beautiful thing. I hope you do too. So let's pray now. God, you've given us a lot to be thankful for. God, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. It's what we do. We're good at that. But God, pray that you'd help us, lead us, show us how to follow. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.